Prince. Damn you. Hey, welcome back. This is the Soul Savvy Show on Studio W The Buzz. All right. EB, Q-Lynn, and Whitney. All right. And also, EB and Q-Lynn, Whitney, I understand that the Dynasty Television and Urban Broadcast Association of America is listening in. And we are proud media partners of Dynasty Television and the Urban Broadcasting Association of America. So thank you so much for that. 14 million strong, folks. So hey, tell everybody you need to tune into the station. That is Studio W The Buzz. It's www.studiowbuzz.com. StudioWBuzz.com. Hey, Q-Lynn, I have to admit, I did like that song. There was a lot of music in that song. There's a lot of music in that song. I didn't say I dislike Prince. See, you always got that wrong.
Did you hear what Miss Chelsea was telling you about the vocal range? Didn't it sound good?
It sounded great.
Did you hear?
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's all we were saying.
Okay.
That's one of the songs.
Okay.
That shows his vocal range. He didn't really show his. He's like hit the sweet spot with his falsetto, and then he showed the lower range. So that's what she's saying, showing the versatility in his voice.
I never said I disliked him. I still say Michael Jackson, number one for me. Thank you.
Listen, you don't even rock with his albums like that. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Like, if you listen to the cuts off of Prince albums, you don't listen to more Prince cuts than you do Michael Jackson cuts.
I don't think that's going to happen. You know, I'm going to try. I'm open.
You're open. Listen,
I am open to listen.
Vocal greatness. Okay. Mm-hmm. Prince is vocal greatness. I told you, Damn You shows the versatility, showing you that sweet spot in his falsetto. He didn't even have to give you his full range. He gave you that sweet falsetto, and it brought you down to that lower register, getting into the bridge. He's giving you all that, okay? And I'm just saying, if you listen to the Prince albums, like Get Into the Deep Cuts, he plays blues on the guitar. And that's up your alley. Michael Jackson ain't got no blues on his albums like that.
So
ain't
what?
Got no funk hits like that. Beyond Off the Wall. I'm just saying.
I know what you're saying.
Listen, if you want to see that at this table, you're going to have to pick Prince over Michael Jackson. That's at the end of the day.
Oh, wait a minute. No. That's not right.
You don't have to pick Prince at the end of the day.
That's not right.
We ain't accepting. I should have asked EB. That was an important question as well. Him picking Prince over Michael Jackson. I need to ask EB that.
EB, what do you have to say about this one?
We need to introduce our guest that's on right now.
Okay.
And so we're gonna put aside the heathens, okay? Because this is the portion of the show where we introduce somebody, a fine guest, a lavish guest, American Idol contestant twice. In 2010 and 2018 of this year, he brought me back to watching it because I was like, at first watching it, but I was like, his voice, this next guest's voice is so good, it made me turn to ABC. And y'all know I don't watch TV like that, especially not no American Idol. So this dude brought me back to watching American Idol. Extraordinaire. Should have got further if you ask me. Top five if you ask me. I don't know what they be doing up there. I don't know what Lionel Richie was underneath this mustache, the reason why he didn't pick me. I'm just saying. But we got a fabulous guest on, singer extraordinaire, powerhouse vocalist. Listen, the credits are so long, background singing. He has a history of background singing. Listen, it's so long. We can name Pay Sisters. We can name... Who else we can name? We can name also Cookie Turner that's been on the show. Listen, it's too long of a list. He has got background vocalists for everybody. Y'all give it up right now for Mr. Thaddeus Johnson. Y'all give it up. Hey, get the top down, Will. There we go. We got that in the budget, baby, so you need to get that on tonight. There we go. Welcome to the Soul Savvy Radio Show, Mr. Thaddeus Johnson. How are you doing today?
I appreciate it. Man, I'm doing good, man. I'm blessed. I just got actually in Texas. I'm down here with Sammy. Are you at where I'm at? So, yeah, that's what's up. Just rocking it out. I'm doing good.
We into this interview. We got so many questions for you. EB, you want to start this off? Because I started first with the last. You want to go first?
I'll start this one off.
Okay,
so,
go ahead.
I love your sound. I am,
thank you.
I think anybody who knows me knows I am a huge fan of background vocalists, and I don't believe that they always get the love and the respect that they deserve.
Right.
So what I want to ask first is, how has singing background for, I mean, you sang background for everybody, Karen Clark Sheard and Marvin Sapp and Donnie McClurkin, you know, how has singing backup prepared you for a solo career?
You know, I'm one of those artists that I think, like, singers should, you know, experience the background world at least once or twice with an artist, because it not only kind of sharpens your skill when it comes to just musicality, but to me it makes you aware overall. You know, as singing background, you know, you got to listen to not only, like, your leader, but you got to listen to where the music is going. Because, you know, you are an extension of that vocal, of that person, of that artist, you know. You are, like, that part of the song that you may hear on the radio that may not be necessarily copied by the instrument, but it's your job to emulate that sound and that harmony that the listener hears on, like, an original piece of music or anything like that. So I think that when people sing background, it makes them more aware of the music when they're singing solo. It makes them, you know, aware of just, like, where things are going, melodic lines, you know, things like that. It just makes you overall more aware. You know, it allows you to choose better choices, you know, to do in your music, you know, vocally and stuff. So I think background singing, I think every artist should try to sing background for at least one or two artists in their tenure of singing.
I agree. I think the best, well, as far as I know, you know, and I know a little something about music, but all of the greats have at one point in time sang backup for someone, and they all accredit that to, you know, their solo success or to helping them craft their sound or, you know, even be a little more precise in the way they approach songs. So I'm glad to hear you say that. Now, I look through your resume and I see, you know, all of the background work you've done, and I'm a heathen, so I want to know.
Both of us are heathens. That is just the clarification.
We're a little bit
of both heathens.
You know, I saw all
to the core.
The
for me, to the core, I'm a heathen.
No, I'm only a heathen on Friday night.
You're a real heathen then, because that's how I have to
balance it out.
Yeah, I saw all of the gospel artists, but which R&B artists, you know, legends in the game, do you look up to, or who's inspired you, or the way, or your sound?
You know, that's a really good question, too, more so because I'm opening kind of myself up as an artist. I'm venturing more into the R&B game, you know, the scene, the soul, neo-soul kind of vibe.
I just cringe just a bit, but go ahead.
Why?
It's just synonymous.
It's the term neo-soul.
Circle of music and neo-soul that makes me cringe. Because they put artists, that word was set up to put people in a box. And so when they refer to you as neo soul, it's like, you know, it's that.
I definitely understand that. I say it more so in the way of identifying it, you know, just so that, you know, people know what it is, because that's unlikely that is the term that people, you know, doom it under as. But in those,
so I feel you though.
Yeah, you know, in those kind of realms though, Tank, I listen to very, very much. You know, he's just one of the top in the game. Of course, you know, Michael Jackson and Prince. Luther Vandross, for a long time in my life, I was kind of called Little Luther. And some people still think I'm like the reincarnation of him. he has been somebody that I definitely look up to. As far as going back as to Frankie Beverly and Maze, I'm going to listen to them.
Yeah.
I'm a very big fan of, Teddy Pendergrass, which, you know, I'm a... Find me off of Symphonian. That's the fraternity that I pledge. And my line name is actually Teddy Pendergrass. So, you know, I had to do some research on who he was to, like, really check him out. But I became a huge fan. And then last but not least, I absolutely love Pete. I want to work with that man very, very, very soon. He's somebody that I look up to. I kind of emulate some things that I do with my voice after him. You know, he has a really good big guy, which another artist I support, Stevie Wonder. He has got a kind of like a good Stevie Wonder vibe about him, and I like that about him. So,
wow. Okay. So talk to me a little about The Haven and, you know, how that came to be.
Absolutely. So The Haven actually came with a conversation with me and one of my older sisters named Andrea. we were just kind of talking about, you know, my next moves from American Idol. You know, God has brought, like, a lot of good opportunity from it. But, you know, she was like, you know, we got to stay active. We got to stay doing something. And, you know, me and Andrea probably spend most of the time in the house together because she's the youngest of the girls, but she's still, you know, my older sister. So, you know, she kind of, like, kind of learned my vibe as just, like, a person overall. And I'm that type of person that if I want to take something serious, you know, I got to, like, kind of, like, just direct my attention to that. And I feel like that's something that's lacking within the music industry as a whole now, is that people don't really direct their full attention to what's happening in music, whether they go to a concert or they go to a show. You know, so many people are now picking up their phones to record the moment rather than actually living in the moment of what the music can do for you at that time. And I think, like, you know, you go back and you're like, oh, man, that was bomb. But it's like, why didn't you hear that then? It's because you was on your phone and you was doing stuff, you know, you weren't supposed to do. So The Haven is an opportunity for people to really come in and actually understand and feel what music actually can be, what it can do, what it did for the people back in the old days, and what I'm trying to bring back into this new millennial age. It's a mixture of songs that are on the radio and my original music, and it's just there just to create an overall vibe, you know, and tell a story about, you know, just life in general, the things that we deal with, the problems that we go through, but just in a music format, which I feel is what, you know, R&B, soul, and country did. You know, I feel like they told stories, they were relatable, and I feel like we're kind of losing that relatability in music, and I just wanted to bring it back.
Right.
Wow. You mentioned that relatability in music and, you know, telling a story. When you're performing, how do you do that? How do you tell a story through song?
Absolutely. You know, I think, like, for me, it's a lot of what I've been through. And I kind of take, like, what I've been through, and if I'm singing something, especially if it's in front of people, I kind of try to just put myself into that situation of the words that I'm singing. A prime example is, like, you know, on American Idol, I got to sing Rise. And I absolutely love my sisters. I mentioned Andrea. I got two other ones named Tyree and Markia. And they're kind of, I call them my Charlie's Angels. You know, they help me out with everything. So, like, I called them and I was like, man, I need some help with my song choice. And my sister chose that song and she was like, look at the words. And I was like, all right. So I looked at the words and, you know, the specific part that I sang on the show was like, you know, I will not conform, you know, no matter how, you know, you shake my core. Because my roots, they run deep. Basically, that's saying, you know, in everything that I go through in life, I don't have to choose to, like, you know, go that way and let that be okay. I don't have to choose to, like, deal with what other people have to say and let that be my reality. I can actually, you know, push myself and go for it and do what I'm supposed to do, do what I'm called to do, you know, because that's a part of me. That's who I am in my core. So I take that, take those lyrics, and I, you know, put them into my own self. Then I feel like if anybody, once you have an understanding of what you're saying or what you're singing, you're able to, you know, get people to feel that because you're singing with true emotion. And so I have to, like, understand what I'm singing first before I can, you know, sing it to anybody, because one thing I don't want to be is an artist that, like, tolerates mess and confusion on stage. You know, that's not going to be me. I want people to have a clear picture of who I am and what I represent as an artist when I hit the stage.
Wow, that's actually a great answer. I love what you said about first understanding the song for yourself and making it real to you before you can, you know, tell the story to other people. So this is my last question before I hand it over to Q-Lynn, and it's kind of a two-parter. I don't want to get, you know, you in any trouble or anything, but I'm going to ask you, it's a two-parter, so I want to know the best part of the American Idol experience, and then I want to know the worst part of that experience.
Absolutely, you know. For me, for the best part, I know many would say the exposure, and I guess, you know, it's kind of a sub-level of that, but to me, the best part is just meeting the other artists. You really do make some really lasting friendships and relationships and just networks with other artists that are out there. You know, I've been to Cali now maybe, you know, three times since the show, since I had to come home back in early March, late February, and just the you know, the receiving of those people that I went through this process with. You know, they're like, you know, let's work together, let's do music, you know, let's go out, let's hang out, you know, let's do all things. You just create relationships. And, you know, it's something about creating a relationship with somebody that has a lot of common similarities that you have, because you're always going to have something to talk about, you know. And so those relationships have helped me out, has actually, you know, kind of boosted, you know, my technical level and my skillful level as an artist. You know, I was able to pick up things from these artists that I didn't do myself, you know, that I could add to, you know, my game to make me better. So definitely the artists and the people that are on the show. The worst thing probably is one thing that I'm dealing with and I dealt with is just not being told no, but being told no and not really getting a reason for it. I'm a type of person that, you know, if I'm told no, I want you to tell me why you're telling me no. And I know that that's not always necessary, but on a magnitude like this, especially if it's your second time and you're going there along the same path, if you get told no, I just want to know the reason as to why I can't go forward, because I want to know how I can make myself better or myself in the image that you guys see me as to continue on this show, because I feel like I'm putting my best foot forward. So if that's not enough, let me know what I can do so that it can be enough for the next time if I choose to do it another time. So that's my biggest the worst thing that I don't like about American Idol. Like, you know, I really didn't get no criticism to work on myself. You know, and I feel like I can always learn. I feel like I'm always going to get better. And once I enter the game and until I die, you know, I'm always going to want to get better. So being told no and not really getting a reason for it, you know, that's a hard pill to swallow.
That's actually kind of shocking. I don't know why, but I just assumed that if they told you no, they would tell you why or, you know, where you fell short
right.
or where you should improve. So.
Right.
So here
and they did that with other contestants, you know. But for me, it is odd, you know, both times. It's odd, you know, and it's like almost like an 8-year difference in between the two. But, you know, I just didn't get any criticism to work on to make me better as to maybe eventually getting a yes at some time, you know, so.
Right.
Got it.
Wow. All right, Q-Lin.
All right. Yeah, like I said before, I'm a heathen, so. It's one question I have, but I'm going to wait till they end to ask it.
Okay.
That's how I am. I'm
I can already tell
eager.
I'm going to like you. I can kind of say you're going to get to it. You're going to get
to me. I just try to be honest. That's it. That's all, you know, people take it the wrong way sometimes, but I try to be honest. Not show judgmental and be crass about it, but I just be honest.
Absolutely.
But my first question is, first of all, I want to get to this because, listen, when I listen to music, I react crazy to it, especially when it's good. And it was a project you were part of. It was Cookies, Moment to Moment, the Volume 2 one. You were,
yeah.
It was two songs in particular, the Home one. And when I was, because she was on the show, I think, sometime last year, and I was like, yo, that song is crazy. I love those backgrounds on there. And she said on the show, that you were instrumental in those backgrounds because she said you were hearing every time, I guess you would do a playback, you would hear certain harmonies and you're like, okay, let me add another note to that. And when I listened to it, I'm like, the main thing that drew me into that song was the harmonies. And I was like, yo, this shit is crazy because it reminded me of Faith Evans and how she used to stack her vocals and Marsha Ambrosia, those records. Are like, I feel like are synonymous with who they are as an artist. Like when I, like
right.
her first album, it was those backgrounds that drew me in. And so when I heard Cookies Harmonies, I was like, yo. And so, and then the second song off of her album was Ode to Music, the live version of that. And I was like, that's what I was like introduced to it from off of her project. And I was like, yo, I like this. And so how you did your runs, I was intrigued by it. Because from listening to you, I was like, I know he's from the church, but the way he's doing it in the song, I'm like, this is everything. Cause I'm like, I'm very particular about certain singers that have range. Like, I mean, not necessarily, I guess how they have voice control. I'm really big on that. The people that have powerful voice, like Fantasia, those singers, and that have like perfect control, like a Whitney Houston, how they had control with Luther Vandross, that like they knew, they could sing, but they knew when to pull back and when to give everything. And I felt like you did that in that song. And so I wanted to know, what was that moment to where, like, you as just a student of music to where you were like, where that ear kicked in and it's like, okay, this is what this is when you hear. Because I used to play in church. I'm not all the way a heathen because I grew up in the church, too. And so we used to play by ear. And so that's how I learned. And so... And then I sung in a choir, and so I learned how to harmonize when I would do, when I would do gigs out. I do background vocals sometimes because I know the tenor part, the alto part, soprano, like I hear it in my head and how it's supposed to do. So is that how you perfect, right, like how you want to hear the harmonies in that way?
You know, my harmony kind of looks like my ear as a noun has been, you know, a progression that I'm actually, like, when I think about it over the years, I'm very grateful for. I was a guy, you know, I'm from the ghetto, you know what I mean? My mom worked hard and my sister worked hard to get me where I needed to be. At a younger age, I started, you know, training in vocal music, you know, whether it was school, and then I started having private lessons and stuff. And in training, you know, it's choral music is always, you know, just bass harmony, like you said, a soprano, tenor, and alto. But what, in that training, what comes to you is that, just that relation as to knowing your notes and knowing your parts, you know, just knowing what comes here, the progression of how it goes on the song, the sequence of how it goes on the song. And then you take that with, you know, the harmonies of the church, so, you know, you're really starting to, like, really form something. But it was a moment in my life where my older sister, Marquia, she attended the University of Houston, and she invited my mom and I down there after a competition or something, and it was a gospel concert. And this guy was singing, and he was hitting these crazy notes. And I was just like, what is that? Like, I had never heard that before. I was like, and they're just off notes. They're still in key, but they're not the root block notes that we learn in, like, church and in choral music. You know, they're still a part of the scale. They're just not what you normally hit. And I was just like, man, that doesn't sound right to me, but it sounds good because it is right. And so my sister was like, those are off notes, you know. And she started playing some of Kimberella stuff for me. She's like, this is the notes that you hit. And people that don't know what they are don't think they're correct, but they actually are indeed correct. And that moment in my life, literally, I was like, you know what, I want to be an artist that can emulate just the weirdest melodies and sounds and things to make people think and make people go back and listen to it. Like, was that right? Man, that was right. That's dope. And so from that moment, I just, like, really, anytime I sung, you know, I would do different harmonies and stuff to see if they just fit, to see if they worked, to see, you know, if I could do this in this format, will this clash or will this add actual harmonious sound to this song? And it's just trial and error. And so that's what I do, you know. I'm a type of person, like, in music, we call something called dissonance. When we were doing Home, I was telling which Cookie, you know, she allowed me the opportunity to really take, you know, kind of the reins on the harmony arrangements to that song, and to the Goodbye song as well. And I was like, you know, I kind of want some dissonant moments, which is basically when there's, if you're looking at a keyboard, it's two notes that are right next to each other. But in the right format, when you're building a chord, they can actually work very, very well. And so I wanted to build a lot of those in that song because I wanted, you know, to provide just a sweet sound for the ear. And so, you know, that's just kind of how it happens, you know. Like, you know, I just started vibing and trial and error and just learning what works, what notes work. Because to me, it doesn't always have to be the same three notes that you have to sing. You have to, like, you know, take those chances to figure out something new.
Man, you're, like, hitting on everything. That's what professionals do. Like, that's what they said the good ones do. I guess I should clarify. And I can hear all of that in that song, and it's like, every time I heard it, I was like, yo, let me play that back, because I heard a note there, and I heard something else, and I kept hearing notes. I was like, yo, this shit is crazy, because, I get animated when I hear good music, so I was wild when I heard that song. But, yeah, I only have a couple more questions. Mine is, I know you're getting ready to do a new album or put out new content, and I wanted to know, because I see you're kind of focused on the lyrics, and I heard you say that earlier when EB asked you the question. Have you found that balance yet of, like, coinciding the lyrics and the production? Because with the thing with R&B, that realm, I'm like, to me, what I feel like that stands out in soul music is the lyrics, the vocal ability, and the production. And to me, production mainly is the live instrumentation, because I feel like it does people that have pure, like, talented voices, it does their voice so good because it kind of accentuates the raw talent of their voice without it being lost in there with production and, you know, like, different. Even though that's cool, I appreciate that if that's, like, if you're trying to do, like, a radio hit. You know what I mean? It has its place for that. But I'm talking about in terms of, like, you're trying to make a solid album, I feel like those are the elements to make a good, like a good R&B album. They have those three elements. So I wanted to know, have you found that balance yet with this upcoming project of the lyric, like replay value of something you wanted to put on the radio, and then also like putting it together a conceptually like solid album?
Right. You know, I'm still working. I got to be honest with you, Queen. I'm still working on it, you know, because I just, to me, right now, that kind of balance is kind of like off balance within the music game, especially with R&B. I feel like a lot of people now like heavy production in either in their tracks or on their voices and things like that. And almost like, you know, to some artists, it kind of takes away what they honestly sound like. So when you see them at a live show, it's like you're not getting the same kind of vibe because it's like, wait a minute, this ain't what I heard on the radio. And so, you know, I struggle with that because I never want that to be myself. I never want somebody to hear me on the radio and then they come see me live and they're like, wait a minute, no. I want to always be better when I'm live. You know what I mean? I always want to be like, you know, like, okay, this is what you heard on the radio, but you're about to get that times 10 live because, you know, you just get to experience it fully. How I kind of work as far as like, you know, with me just making songs and stuff, you know, I usually start off with like a good produced, you know, music or produced beat, hearing something that I really like, the melody of it, you know, and then it's like I was writing a song a couple days ago, and like, you know, I've had this track for a minute, and the production on it is bomb, and I was like, you know what, I have to have some words that is going to coincide with this production, because right now, if I make some words and some melody lines that are whack, then everybody only going to listen to the song for the beat and the music, and I was like, and that's right. Not the case, because it's a very well-produced song. And so, you know, it took me, like, you know, a few hours to get the words that I wanted to really get to it. But when I got to them, it was like, you know what, this is can, you know, liable to not only be a hit, but I think I'm going to make it my first single as well. And so it's just, you know, like I said earlier, with the trial and error and just learning how harmonies and stuff work, that's how it is in producing and just kind of, like, knowing what it is, too. And there's going to be songs that I make that I would never release because at the time it's like, you know, I feel like it's a good vibe. But, like, when you go back and listen to it, you're like, nah, there's something off. Whether it is the production or whether it's the lyric value or whether it's the instrumentation, whether it's your tonal reference, whatever it is, you know, there could be something off. So, you know, all that goes into a play and becoming the best artist that you can be. I think that having an ear can help you out as much as possible. And I encourage artists that are coming up to do music classes or, you know, watch videos on YouTube to incorporate a solid ear within yourself. That way you can hear those discrepancies when you are actually recording something.
And I think the cool thing about you is that with, I remember y'all mentioning the Haven, is that what it's called? Live project. Mm-hmm. I think what's cool about you is that, your live performances are like well talked about. And I feel like you got a one up on everybody. Because most of the time people try to put out original records and they can't get people to listen to it because they're like, I don't know what you can do. Like, what is this? Or whatever. But I think what dropped this for me, just being a musician for so long, just watching people in the crowds, people, if you do a rendition of a song or cover a song, if you do that well enough to where it sticks in their head, where they can, if they request it from you during the show, or they just anticipate, like, you're going to kill this cover song, those people are more inclined, if you have fans like that, you're more inclined to get them to buy your original work. And I feel like that's the balance that artists don't have, is that, I feel like that's what it is, because it's the same thing Mono Neon does, because he'll do cover songs that have, like, great, because he's a bass player, he does songs with great bass lines.
He's amazing, by the way.
Yes, absolutely. He's phenomenal.
Yes.
And what he does in that bass, he does it to where he keeps the melody simple. Like, he keeps what the melody is doing, but he adds his own ghost notes to that. He'll add his own riffs to it. But he's still giving respect to the original, but he's adding his own flavor to it. And I feel like you do the same thing when you perform live, because you'll do the song. I feel like when you do the song the way it's supposed to do, like you do those certain notes that people want to hear. When they, like, you know, like when you hear Frankie Beverly May's song, everybody goes up for Before I Let Go.
Yeah.
When he does that whole part.
Yeah.
As long as you do those certain parts, those certain ad-libs and certain things, and then you can make that into yourself, people will buy into listening to your music. Because then, well, reason why I mentioned Mono Neal, he got people into doing his cover songs, like listening, doing him those cover songs, and now he's doing his own original music and it's selling well because people are like, yo, I'm gonna buy this because you've proven that you can, you know, you're a student of music and you have all this, these great cover songs and now you're the original. So I wanted to say, with your live performances are amazing. First off, you got me into listening to Bruno Mars song and I have a track history on this show. Listen, I'm not gonna get into it because I ain't gonna get on my high horse, but I have a whole spill against Bruno Mars just for the fact that, you know, I don't care for people that take things that don't belong to them in the Grammys, but that's a whole other subject when it comes to R&B albums. I'm just saying, but I just say that I wasn't feeling it, but you made me like that song. It was what was it? It was just that's something recent like. You did. Yes, that's what I like, and you made me like that song. Even though I know the production is great, but I hate his voice, but that's a whole other subject. Yeah. I'm being a hater, but I'm trying to. I'm just saying, you're that great that you made me like it. That's all I'm saying.
It ain't even hating. It's just the fact that you have an opinion. And the thing about it is that what I like about you is that you actually have a thing to support your opinion. So I can't be mad. Like, I can't be mad if somebody don't like me for a reason. You know what I mean? If you don't like me just because you don't like me, then yeah, that's the sense of haterade. You know what I mean? But if you don't like me for a certain reason and I'm just not your vibe, I have no choice but to respect that. Hopefully, as an artist, I can bring you around, maybe. But if I never do, at least you got a reason, and you know. And so you can't hate on that. So I respect you. I respect you all in all.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I had a Bruno Mars article to clarify some more, but it was like Twitter was going crazy with the think pieces, and they like all this. I was like, all right, I'm gonna save this because they gonna put me into the whole test. And I'm like, I put that in the recycle bin. I'm like, I'm not fixing this. I don't need all this traffic. I'm getting you to the heathen portion now. Okay, I have this thing on here. I try to ask the musicians and singers that come on. Since you do a lot of live performances and you work with musicians, I have to ask you this question. You know, because I try to be fair and ask musicians and singers this question, just to be fair. But since you're a singer, what is it about musicians in rehearsal or a live band that not necessarily you can't stand, but just like, really, you just did that? Like, you know what I mean? Like if they're like doing a solo too long or they're playing over you, a keyboard player hit too many licks over your ad libs when you go into the bridge. Like, is there something specific about musicians in particular that they do during rehearsal or during a live show that you can't stand?
I think a lot of musicians that I've worked with will kind of like, you know, back me up on this. I'm pretty lenient when it comes to musicians. I'm a musician myself. But, you know, I'm pretty lenient because I do feel like, you know, even though I'm the artist, I never want to, like, bring a musician in and be like, okay, this is how I want to decide. This, you know, this is what it's going to be like. I want it to be, and if it's a track that's already established, like, it played just like the song is, you know, I'm never going to be that type of artist, you know, because if I've invited a musician in personally for myself, that means I believe in the kind of, you know, the capability and the skill level that you have, you know? So I know that you're going to bring something to my set that is not only going to, like, be an asset to me, but it's going to push me to even go further. And so, you know, the only thing I don't like when I give that freedom is that some musicians take advantage of it. Like you said earlier, like when you're singing in a cover song, there's still certain things that you just got to do to make the song noble.
Exactly.
To make the song like, you know, hey, that's that song. I like what he's doing, but that's that song. And some musicians, when you give them that freedom, especially if you can sing, if they behind an artist that can sing, they'll start playing a whole bunch of different chord progressions and melodic sequences, and you like, wait a minute, you taking away from the whole integrity of the song. So that's my biggest pet peeve. Like, I'm very lenient when it comes to musicians. I want you to have a little bit of shine, too. Because, like I said, if I ask you to play with me, then I know you can play. But if you were playing a cover song and you didn't got too happy, and now you're going totally opposite, and not only are you playing, like, not what the song is originally scored to be, but now you start playing loud, too, then that's where I find the problem. Now, like, hold on. I don't want you to think that you can do more than me. We're working at this together. You know, you're an extension of me, so.
And you know who do that more of that I've seen? And I hate to, I don't want to, like, say, like, majority. I'll just say some. Some of those are church musicians that do that, that go into live gigs because they don't know how to turn it off and say, hey, this is a gig that you're getting paid, or if you're not getting paid. Still, if you want to get led to a paid gig, you can't be doing all that. So, because if you're good enough and you're with the right singers that, like you said, that understands the importance of musicianship live, they're going to give you that solo. If you're good, if you just stay in that pocket, they're going to give you that solo. Because Layla Hathaway does it. Layla Hathaway is known for her musicians. Anthony Hamilton does it. Jill Scott does it. All the great R&B singers. And Fantasia does it as well. She's really big on that. And Janelle Monáe. Like, it's those artists that understand, like, how important that is on a live show. They'll give you, like, a minute of a solo thing if you're on the piano, guitar. But, it, like I said, it's the church music. I feel like it's that. It's just me. That's just my opinion.
No, you're correct. You're correct.
Just for the listeners, the musicians and stuff that's listening in, that's just from my perspective. I feel like it's mostly church because they don't know how to turn that off.
Yeah, and it just goes back to what I said earlier, even though I was speaking from like a singer standpoint, but even as a musician, you have to be aware. You have to become aware of just like, you know, your surroundings and how you are, because it's not going to do nothing but help you grow and become a versatile, you know, instrumentalist. You know what I mean? When those artists, like the artists that you just named, when they give their musicians that opportunity, you know, because those artists, their audiences that they bring, it's going to be a very mixed crowd. It's going to be people that just love them for the music, and it's going to be a lot of musically inclined people there. Because we respect those artists. We respect what they have to offer. We respect what they've given us in the form of music. And so those artists know that. They know that there's going to be people in the audience that are like musically inclined and are listening for that. And not only do the artists know that, the musicians in the band know that. But if you don't know how to pull it back and like kind of like learn from that, then you'll never be able to get that opportunity. Because what that does is just nothing but strengthen you and say, okay, the next artist is like, man, Layla, you got this bass player. I don't know if you're on tour right now. If you're not on tour, can you give me his information? Because that's how networking and stuff happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they've got to be aware. They have to be aware, especially church musicians. They got to be aware.
Right. I only got one more. I want to play a game with you real quick before you go, but I got one more.
I got you.
This is more to singers. Is there anyone? You don't have to say specifically your name, so I ain't trying to get you in trouble. But
no, I'm real. I'm real. You real. I got you.
No, because we had Karen White on. She was paying no attention to me. I think we got in trouble because he asked her. I asked her. That was E.D. to ask her about the Soul Train Award. I don't want to ask
her. I mean, I had to know. Like, if it's out there, you got to put it out there.
I didn't want to ask her. I didn't want to get her in trouble. But I was going to ask, with the sing, is there any time that you've been a background vocalist or you've done your own gigs to where you heard like another background singer or just the lead singer that just wasn't on point? Like, I mean, what's the equivalent of what I said about the musicians, like something they do that you can't stand? Like something, like for me, it's like just being a musician, I can't stand it when the singer sings behind the music. It drives me up the wall. And it's a lot of old, I ain't gonna say no names. It's a veteran artist that I've worked for. And they sing behind the music. It's better art. I don't want to say the names, but they sing behind the music, and it drives me insane because it's like you try to keep the rhythm going, and it's like, why are you doing that? It's like, why are you slowing it down? But is anybody like a singer or somebody that do that? Just something similar to that, to where it was like, really?
And you can totally name names if you don't think you can name names.
I'm not trying to get in trouble.
In my email, because I want to know who it is. I haven't had to have opportunity to necessarily work with somebody like that, where it's just like, you know, it's just like behind the
scenes. They forgot lyrics, like something like that. Like if they forgot lyrics, you know, when it was a 2-week rehearsal of preparation, and you don't know the lyrics, that drives me crazy too.
Yeah, you know, I haven't. I mean, I have worked with some artists like that, but they're not important. Let's just say that. I'm not saying like they're not important artists. They're just,
I took it all the way the wrong way because
they're not even in the game anymore. Like, you know what I mean? Just
whisper.
So I'm just like, just whisper the name. You don't say it out loud. Just whisper it.
I'll take the name. Like I got y'all. But as far as like these people on a bigger magnitude and stuff. Everybody, honestly, God has allowed me to work with some really great people. There are some things that I don't like, you know.
And I'm not necessarily speaking on her. I've worked with an artist named Amber Bullock. She's a gospel artist.
Oh, I know her. Oh, yeah.
Really dope. But, you know, like, her just overall approach and, like, just being able to talk to her and ask her questions, especially if you're seeing a background, because she's kind of harsh when it comes to that. And I'm just like, you know, you got to be a little bit more, you know.
She do give me that vibe.
Perceivable. Like, allow us to, like, be better approachable. You know what I mean? Like, give us a vibe where we'll be able to come, because we don't want to do nothing. Well, I can speak for myself. If I'm thinking background for you, I don't want to do nothing but make your show better. You know what I mean? And so it's like, you know, if you giving me off a bad vibe, you know, and if you hear something wrong, you don't even want to teach me the right part. You just want to be like, no, that's not it. Like, that's my biggest pet peeve. It's like, okay, if it ain't it, then let me know what it is, because just from what I'm hearing back here, what you doing ain't right either. And so
I almost said something. I don't know if I want to say it or not, because I don't know if they're going to be listening. Somebody, I almost said it. If that is giving me permission to say it, I'm going to say it. Because it's about...
In that way. I'm speaking in
that is, don't give me a permission, because I'm not... I got a filthy mouth. Don't let me say it. I almost said it.
What?
No.
Oh, you want me... You give me permission. Okay. I was going to say, she all over the place anyway, vocally. So I'm like, that's why she don't understand background, because she do the backgrounds as well. That's all I was going to say.
You know... Some people would agree. You know, I will say, I very much respect Amber Bullock and her artistry. I will say that.
I respect it too. I'm just saying.
Very, very dope. You know, I just, and as far as working with her, it's something that I learned. And it's just like, you know, when I get to that level, it's something like, okay, I will never do that. You know what I mean? And I'm like, you know,
right.
This was about 4 or 5 years ago, you know, I pray that God has allowed her the opportunity for her to grow in that. Cause
yes, we hope that she's blessed,
you know,
her life to,
you know. But
to it's stay in pocket with the music.
You got to stay in pocket, and you got to have the right attitude so that everything should just be right. That's just, you know, just me. If you have a wrong attitude and you're working with people, it don't work. It don't work to me. You cannot have a bad attitude and, like, think you could just, like, work with people and, like, make it better. You know, I'm doing your music, you know what I mean, with any artist.
Right.
I'm doing your music. So if you come at me with a bad attitude, then I'm going to shut down. And then if you have a bad attitude and you're not even doing what you're even doing on the CD, like, the quality of it is, like, subpar, then, yeah, I'm going to have a bad vibe when I'm on stage. I'm still going to do what I was told to do because you asked me to sing, and I'm going to keep my commitment. But I'm going to have an attitude, you know, so.
If I can remember this dude's name, because he still tours, if I can remember his name that I almost worked for, but I quit after the second rehearsal. Because he would clap us into the key. Like, he'd be, like, clapping and be like, okay, bow, E flat. I'm like, I was throwing a drumstick at him. I got up the left.
Right.
I was about to touch him up. I was like, no, I'm clapping. Yeah, I ain't no dog. But, yeah, that's the one. Who said, like, I was about to say something? I'm trying to control myself. But I know Thaddeus is bringing the civilized Christian listeners in, even though this network has a lot of Christian listeners. But I know Thaddeus is bringing it in from his past. And I'm trying to control myself and not cuss so much, because I let it out sometimes. He won't give me the five limits, so I'm trying to take it.
I'll just say I'm a very liberal person, I'm very liberal too,
because I use my Bible as a coaster every day. I do it. That's the line where I'm at with mine. That's how liberal I am. I use my Bible as a coaster.
I don't use that as a coaster, but I still cry.
I just put my drink right there.
You're also very funny. Good Lord.
We're going to do the game real quick with you to let you go. The What's Wrong With You game, it's a very simple game. It's either or game. It's not vocal comparison game. It's specifically, it's about replay value of music catalog. That's what it's about. And so I'm going to try to run through this because we've run out of time. So the first one is Marvin Gaye or Teddy Pendergrass?
Marvin Gaye.
There you go. You're talking right. That's the bonus. It's little tricks up and through this game, so.
Yeah, it's rigged. The game is rigged.
That's just a part of the, it's not rigged at all. Don't listen to those falsehoods and that fake news.
The game is rigged.
Okay. It's not rigged at all. It's not rigged at all. Okay, number two.
That's my personal thing.
Listen, you talking right so far. You ain't got wrong yet.
I'm winning. Okay.
Yes, you're winning. Number two, The Whispers or the OJs?
The Whispers.
There you go, you're talking right. Another bonus one. Okay, like I said, I make up the rules as I go. So
that's right, it's rigged.
It's a little trick. It's a little trick around the way. No, it's not, Will. Listen, it's Puff Daddy, Will. Mister, I need to be all up in the mic, engineer. Okay, I need for you to call back, okay? Puff Daddy, Will, calm down. Okay, the next one. Prince or Rick James?
Oh, Prince.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Another bonus.
Yeah.
Okay, now we into the portion of the show. This is where it intensifies, and this isn't either or. You have to be very specific with your answer, and it gets intense because there is a wrong answer in this, so you have to choose right. I'm just saying.
Okay.
And so
okay.
So this one is specific with Michael Jackson. Off the Wall or Thriller?
Oh, man. Dang. He had more hits from Thriller.
No, we're talking about your personal, like we had this.
Yeah, I told you it was rigged. I told you it was rigged.
No, I'm trying. How is it rigged when I'm trying to set it up for him to win? That's not
you,
a rig.
Okay. Yeah, it's
let
set
me
up.
Specify.
That's like, the word.
With the singer before that we interviewed at the top of the show, I had to specify your personal replay value of catalog. What are the replay value? How many times you're replaying Off the Wall versus Thriller?
Me, personally, I play more songs off of Off the Wall than Thriller.
There you go. You talk. So you pick Off the Wall?
Yeah, but who's buying more?
Listen, well, I need for you to get your Pinot Grigio and go in the back of the engineer station or something while we start talking.
Okay.
I don't need all this insubordination, okay? I don't need all this insubordination.
I'll talk to you soon.
Okay? This is a fair game. I'm being honest.
It's not fair. You make up the rules as you go. You make up the rules as you go.
It's designed for the person to win.
Uh-huh.
Ain't nobody lost this game since I made up these rules.
I know.
Listen, we're going to bypass our producer.
It sounds
did you say Off the Wall?
It sounds Republican to me.
Brutally interrupted by our producer.
It sounds Republican.
Listen, you need to let our guest, you need to quit acting up in front of company, first
that
off. Secondly, and let our guest answer the question before we run out of time. That is.
Yes,
sir. Did you say Off the Wall? You said Off the Wall.
I did.
Didn't you?
I mean,
okay, you're talking right, okay? We don't need no more explanation for it, okay? You answered the right question, so we don't need to go further, okay? You said Off the Wall. You're talking right, okay? Okay, the next one. Patty or Aretha?
Be careful, Thaddeus. Be very careful.
Listen, don't be trying to be influencing the questions, okay?
You've been
influencing. What's going on? I'm trying to figure out what's going on. Go ahead, Thaddeus.
Yeah, okay.
Aretha.
Oh,
Aretha. That's what I'm talking
about.
Listen,
no.
See?
Like I said, listen.
That replay.
All this insubordination. No. All the insubordination going on. I need silence going on the radio while I talk to Daddy.
That's right.
I need quiet while I'm talking to him. Okay?
You're talking right.
Listen, I need quietness going on while I ask him this question. Okay, you said replay. I asked replay value musicality.
See,
so you're playing more. I need specification going on. Okay, you're playing more.
Have respect.
You're playing more Aretha. Then Patty.
She's trying to muddy the water. You trying to muddy the water.
And then also.
She has more songs. Okay, let's do it like this.
See, I told you it was rigged. The game is rigged.
No,
I told you.
I'm trying to set up for him to win. First off, I'm trying to set up for him to win. That's when y'all got twisted. That's why y'all got twisted. Because I'm setting up for him to win. Listen, all this insubordination going on. I need order going on, okay? let me get focused, okay? Patty. I'm gonna set it up like this. Okay, need you, want you, love you, versus, what's the one with the En Vogue cover? What's the name of that one?
Giving Him Something He Can Feel.
Yeah.
Versus that song, Giving Him Something He Can Feel. What song are you picking between them two?
Giving Him Something He Can Feel.
That's right.
Are you serious? What about
That's
Respect
right.
versus I Got a New Attitude?
R-E-S-E-C-T. Ooh, now see,
in that
one, I gotta go with
it. There we go.
Oh,
listen,
no.
Listen, you talked right,
no.
So you evidently picked Patty. At the end of the day, you pick Patty there. That's all I wanted to hear was a Patty pick. And so nothing's wrong with you on that one. That's all I was looking for is a Patty pick.
Yeah, it was a trick. It was a trick.
So that's what's wrong with you on that one. And so the last one, if we can finish this game with all this insubordination and all this disrespectful energy going on right now while I'm trying to set the game up for our guest to win, the last one
keyword setup. That was a key word.
Setup. He ain't getting nothing wrong. What you talk? Listen, I'm trying to finish it up because y'all trying to derail from the point of this game.
Q-Lin.
The last one, Brad McKnight or Babyface? Just the last one.
Oh, man. For me, it's Brian McKnight.
Wait. Let me say it again.
Wait.
Mr.
Well, that's not so hard.
No, it ain't hard at all. It's not hard at all. Okay. Mr. Kenneth Babyface Edmonds versus Brian McKnight.
See?
If you're telling me.
You're playing
Boys and Men. You're playing Whitney Houston songs. You're playing the Waiting to Tell soundtrack album. You're skipping over After 7, Karen White. you're giving all these people to get to Brian McKnight. I'll be back at 1 o'clock. You picking them songs over that?
No, if you mean overall, then yeah, Babyface has it hands down. I mean,
yeah. Okay, so you win. You talking right? Because that's replay value of catalog. He has a laundry list of catalogs. So yeah, that's all I'm saying.
The bully tactics.
It's not bully tactics.
It's
I'm
bully.
Being specific with my question. Okay?
Yeah, specific.
That's why why Judge Judy gets the bad rap she does, because she asks specific questions.
You
and
twist
y'all
arms.
Around the card.
Yeah.
I give a specific question.
Specific. No, you
guess
twist.
What? I conclude.
You conclude. Yeah.
What's wrong with you, Dave, okay. That there's nothing wrong with Mr. Thaddeus Johnson. He deserves claps because he's talking right.
Okay.
I had to keep veering the wheel back to the road because he kept veering off from the point I was making, so I had to veer the wheel, and he got back on track.
Hey, Thaddeus.
And it all the way.
Mr. Thaddeus Johnson.
No, nothing wrong with Mr. Thaddeus Johnson.
Mr. Thaddeus Johnson, this is for you for surviving
so
that. Good Lord.
Thank you,
Thaddeus. Thank you for surviving.
Thank you so much for coming on.
I can't believe
it. As you can see, I was trying to conduct a very perfect game. I was giving you opportunities to win, so I don't know what was all the insubordination going on. You
because
won the game.
It's
okay?
The game is rigged, Q-Lin. The game
it's not
is.
Rigged.
What do you
let
say?
Let our guest speak. Thaddeus, how do you feel being a winner over what's wrong with your game?
You always can win. I'm good.
A win is a win.
What a great sport. What
don't
a great sport.
Don't complain about, you do it. No, it was perfect, okay, because you won. At the end of the day, as long as you win, okay,
right.
That's all that matters. Thank you so much, Thaddeus, for coming on, putting up with our food.
Man, thank
you
for having me. Thank you for having me.
I try to act like I have sense, but as you can see, they act like they don't have sense.
Well, she doesn't.
No, I try to balance.
But I like
out.
That kind of vibe because I'm that type of person. I feel like, you know, when people meet me and they meet me as an artist, I ain't going to be that deep type of artist, man, at all. They're going to see the clown that I am.
Yes.
All right.
Thank you so much for coming on. We are looking forward to any project you put out. Definitely trying to hit up any live show. I know you frequent Oklahoma City and Dallas, and I hope you get more bigger opportunities and big gigs to venture out into different cities and different states and get that tour game up, because that's what it's about.
Absolutely.
That tour
that's
crap.
Right.
And I hope you get your tour. I ain't no prophetess, but I'm putting it out there, in the universe that you get up on this tour coin. I feel it.
Amen.
I'm putting that positive energy out there that you get that tour coin because you work.
That's
Thank
right.
Thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it.
And Thaddeus, you are welcome to come back on Studio W The Buzz anytime on any of our shows. We have a host of shows, myriad, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Blues, R&B, jazz, soul, gospel. Mm-hmm. Hey, we do it all. And I want to say, Q-Lin and EB of Whitney, Hey, you guys are doing a great job back there. So thank you so much for coming on to Studio W the Buzz.
Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you. We appreciate it.
It's been our pleasure. All right. Hey, so, Q-Lin?
You have interrupted this show, I don't know how many times. Hopefully we can get 15 more minutes so we can do this topic of underrated singers. It ain't going to take that long. I'm trying to control my tone, okay? I'm trying to bring it down.
So let me ask you a question. So when are we going into the rage? When do you want to do that?
Oh, my God. Listen, you messed that up by interrupting the game twice because I was completely about to get into it, but you just had to jump in. It wasn't going to be that long.
Because the game is rigged.
Got it all worked up again.
Game is rigged. It is a complete setup. Okay? What do you say? You say you make up the rules
as
you go.
He won. How is it rigged if you win? It'd be a difference if you lose the game. Then you can say it's rigged.
Okay.
If you win the game, I'm giving you opportunity, just your question, for you to specify what it is, the original rules of the game are. The original rules of the game is...
Because it's not real life.
Give
me all those opportunities.
And what Thaddeus did, they kept venturing off and talking about all vocals. They can't just say anything. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how many songs is you playing of this artist versus this artist. That's all the question is. And I keep venturing out to what the point of the question is.
Your game is rigged.
He picked the party song, so guess what? He won the game. He won it.
Let me tell you how
he picked Patty over Aretha.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
If I would have picked two more Patty songs, he would have picked the Patty song.
Okay, one point. May I ask a question and pose a point real quick? Okay.
Oh my God. I feel like I didn't ran an Olympic race talking to you. You didn't got me so worked up.
Well, good.
I'm about to pass out over here. I ain't got no water nearby, nothing.
Okay.
I got my voice all dry talking to you.
I know. It's a good thing. Don't worry about it. So, you confuse people because you say replay value. So, then you change the game. Replay value to me is mean how many people throughout the globe listen to it. That's replay value.
What?
And
no.
Then you say,
replay
okay.
Replay value of music catalog. That should mean that.
No, it's not individual.
How many times do you play this person's music? That's what that means.
I'm talking about globally, and
right.
You're talking about.
That's baloney.
No.
That's not a global thing.
It is a global thing.
I asked that question to ain't got confused about it.
It is a global thing. What do you mean it's not a global thing? Replay value, at EB.
She got what I was saying.
Okay, Whitney. Replay value. When you say value, that equates to dollars.
No, it does not.
Are you kidding me? Value?
No. Replay value means.
And looking
like,
by the time, if I'm playing it myself a thousand times in my house, it's not going
to
put it.
You want me to add personal replay
no,
value?
No, you are wrong. You are dead wrong, counselor. You know, if you and I were opposing lawyers in court, you'd lose. Because value means money.
TLC,
it translates into dollars.
You can talk all you want.
You can talk all you want, but you got to make common
that's
sense.
That's the problem with you. You don't listen.
Really?
You ain't listening.
No, I'm not listening to you.
You're trying to talk about Rick, because you know why you're listening.
I'm not going to listen to you.
Are you the last person?
Oh, absolutely. That's what we're doing.
Be nice to Whitney, our host. And
no, you're not.
She ain't talked the whole show because you want to be.
You haven't even let Whitney talk.
When you let Whitney talk, I was about to ask you a question about the underrated.
And you know, we're going to take a poll right now and find out who talks the most. We can take a poll right now and find out who talks to me.
Let me get vocals out and talk to him.
There's nothing I can do with that. Like, y'all, I think it's
listen,
because
that can't
you
be
were here last week that this is what's happening.
Wait,
you know, like,
you don't have to be diplomatic about this, okay?
No.
I'm not being diplomatic.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
If y'all don't get y'all
attention out, this is how y'all act. Like, there's no prying you apart.
Oh, my God, Whitney. Whitney, can you just answer the question, this ridiculous question that he asked? Do you think the What's Wrong With You game is rigged? Do you think it's rigged? Nobody lost on this game. Everybody tried to lose. I gave a win. So how's it rigged if everybody's
winning? That's not the point. the point
the
is
point the game is to win.
The point is you don't.
So how
the point is you don't be quiet enough to let somebody else talk. Whitney was talking.
Oh! You gonna throw that? The person that's been talking for the last 5 minutes while I'm trying to get on to the next topic. Are you serious right now?
You've been talking for the last five minutes. You've been talking for the last 2 hours.
What's I getting this audio back? It's gonna have 10 minutes. Every time I skip, it's gonna be you talking. Every time I try to skip to figure out what to edit, it's gonna be you talking. I promise you. Every time, at this portion of the show, when I keep trying to skip to hear the topic of the segment, to try to organize it for the people, I don't wanna hear your voice. The last 10 minutes of the show. You talking about me talking. I'm trying to get to the topic. Evie, oh my God.
No, Whitney was talking.
I'm gonna ask Whitney.
I think Whitney was speaking.
Listen, I'm trying to ask you a question if you get off the mic, okay? Listen, okay. Let me get my head together.
That's gonna take some time.
Evie and Whitney just sit here allowing him to berate me. Ain't nobody jumping in to defend this great game that I have. This game is great. It ain't none of y'all jumping in to defend it. So that lets me think that y'all agree with me that this game is great.
Oh,
this is absolutely false news. What is going on the show? Ain't no everybody jumping on me today. I'm just trying to conduct a great show. It ain't nobody jumping to my defense. Everybody just quiet like a church mouse. Ain't nobody talking to me. I'm sitting here saying, Puff Daddy will take over the show and let him berate and defile. So what's wrong with you, gang?
Oh,
I'm
God.
Just trying to conduct a great show.
Hey, you know, what simple. Hey, a couple of statements.
Oh, my God. Whitney, for the last third time, will you please jump in?
Okay, please.
We're talking about the last 10 minutes. We're going to talk about underrated singers. Who do you think is an underrated singer?
Do you know, I think it's Nao, N-A-O. Have y'all heard of her?
No, I haven't. I have to hear music. It's probably a song that I probably heard, and I didn't know who the artist was, and it's probably her.
It probably
what
is.
What kind she's of style kinda, of music does she do?
It's got a soul feel to it. It's kind of a mix of things, if you ask me. I first heard her just on like one of my Pandora stations, she popped up and I hadn't really heard of her before then either, along with, Sabrina Claudio. I think that's how you say her name too. Like they have different voices completely, but there's something about like when you hear them sing, like for me, it just kind of pulls you in, but I don't feel like people really know who they are to even like go tap into their music and check them out. Or maybe not people here, I'll say.
What's the artist? I mean, I guess I should say this, underrated to me is just like not on the radar in a mass way. So what is, I should say, that makes an underrated singer to you that's not like, does it have to mean like they're not popular on TV? On radio, or what is it specifically that makes the artist underrated to you?
Like somebody who's putting out something that's actually worth listening to, but people just kind of brush it off because maybe they don't fit the look or like a certain image. Like I see a lot of that. Even with shows like American Idol, for example, like I would watch that, especially like in the first few seasons. And you get these people with these, what I thought were like really unique voices, but because they didn't fit like a certain look, they may not have gotten, people may not have taken notice of them. Like they couldn't see past the look to hear the actual talent. Because people are very like visual, so they're going to pay attention to somebody they feel is attractive. And I feel like sometimes people, like they miss out. Like they just don't really listen to the person to get a good feel.
What about you, Evie? What does it classify an underrated singer to you?
When when you said underrated singer, immediately the first thing that came to mind was R&B divas, and I'm thinking of people like specifically Monifa and Selena Johnson, who have these crazy, like, amazing voices, and they're versatile, and they could, you know, craft something totally original, but at the same time, they can imitate and pay homage to classic singers and still fit that groove and still sound great. I think underrated singers in this day, I think the definition changes just a little bit because it tends to mean singers that aren't pop singers, or they aren't mainstream, or they don't appeal to younger audiences, or they don't appeal to white audiences. I think the underrated singers are those that just haven't, I don't see, it's hard to say. I was about to say that's wrong. No. They are people who just aren't appreciated enough because they don't have the same reach, or they don't have the same influence as others who have, you know, giant machines behind them.
Right. I guess, as well, do you think is some underrated singers, do you think their team or their lack of team is the reason why, or do you think it's the consumer not seeing it? Because I feel like if they are put in a certain, they have certain opportunities to be seen, I think they get more of a following, if that makes sense. Because Alex Smith, to me, she's one of my favorites, and she's super underrated, and I knew who she was. And then the thing that really got her more of a following and more visible was her appearance on Black Girls Rock, I think, some years ago, where she was promoting her Fool for You, that's not what the album was called. She was doing the song Fool for You, she was doing a rendition of a CeeLo Green song. But the name of the album, I think, was called She. She's doing the EP that she had just put out. And that song, she did Fool for You on Black Girls Rock. And that, catapulted her to a bigger fan base that may not have heard her music. Now, I wouldn't say she was underground, but she got a way bigger audience now. And she does, like, pretty decent tours, like big tours on the same tour as, like, a Marsha Ambrosia or, you know, certain artists that have that visibility and have that celebrity, she's on with those artists. And she can now book herself on there because she's been exposed on TV. And she has those opportunities to get a bigger audience to latch on somebody that might have a headline name and have that credibility as an artist because they have years in. She can now be a part of those tours. And it's hard to get on tours. And so now she gets, I was trying to swallow because I ain't drunk in all the show. But she has the opportunity now to be visible and do bigger tours and to tour more in different cities and different countries out of the United States because of that. But go ahead.
I feel that I came of age in D.C. and D.C. has greatly shaped, like, my musical taste and what I'm exposed to. D.C. has an amazing music scene. For anybody listening who isn't in D.C. or from D.C., like, they have an amazing music scene. So I remember back in 2006 when Alice Smith's first CD dropped for Lovers, Dreamers, and Me, and how in love I was with it. And then there are people like Yazara and Liv Warfield, Deborah Bond, Cy Smith, Darian Brockington. I think these people are underrated, and I think it's, like you said, it's both. It's partly they don't have the team. They don't necessarily have the team behind them. A lot of them do have, you know, have teams. Like, for instance, with Liv has been grinding, and it wasn't until she started working with Prince that people took notice. So you always have to have a big name or something, you know, attached to you to make people notice. I just think it's sad that the talent isn't enough for that just to be it. But then that also makes me miss people like Prince, who saw through that. He saw talent in, you know, various people who could be considered underrated, but because he took notice of them and he took them under his wing, you know, that they gained a wider fan base.
Right, exactly. It's a lot of them. Like with Lisa Fisher, when she was doing all those, started out background, doing background vocals, you know, Luther Vandross, and then, you know, then getting her own solo album that did pretty well. And even though she didn't follow that up, she still, like, got success from that, you know, got a, you know, number one hit and, you know, all that stuff with How Can I Ease the Pain. And she could still, you know, make money off of that and then that whole album if she wanted to. And then she also still does background vocals, you know, done with Rolling Stone, you know, like very like upper echelon artists that can book stadiums and stuff like that. So that exposure as well. And then also I think most of the underrated artists that I like T.J. Moses, it's a more, I wouldn't classify Layla Hathaway, no, because I feel like they have that foot in of like celebrity and also being underrated. I just don't think that the spotlight isn't on like R&B artists, specifically black artists that do R&B. And so, but I feel like if anybody, I feel like she's at the top of the top of the list in terms of the cream of the crop, I should say, of R&B right now in terms of, cause she, if you look at like the stuff she's doing, like she sells out shows, like big, like theaters and stuff like that. She, you know, can team up and get on arena tours and stuff like that with different artists and, you know, headline her own show. And she can travel, you know, most people that underrated can't do that. I mean, some artists that haven't made it like that, they can't.
Right.
Like that.
And like, see,
struggle
like,
for them
with,
to book a certain venue. And even artists that are, like, known, like if you know them from the past,
they
can't even book it. Yeah.
Right. With somebody like Layla, it kind of goes back to what I was saying. Is we know and love and recognize them for their talent. But if they don't necessarily have that crossover audience or that crossover appeal, then we do think of them as underrated because we want everybody to appreciate them as much as we do and see that these are the people who should be at the top of the charts. Like, look at their resume. Look at the amount of touring that they do, which I think touring is honestly what I think makes an artist. I don't. Any artist that tells me they're not touring or they don't have any aspirations to tour or they prefer not to, it's automatically
you're taking
I don't trust
a hit.
That.
Not only are you taking a hit financially, you're taking a hit to broaden your audience because if you don't tour,
broaden your audience.
There's some of them that don't want to be on other people or they don't want to open, and a lot of them a sort of a vain approach to because they feel like they should headline. No, you got to, it's baby steps to it. So, that
perfect
thing
example was Layla Hathaway opening for Mary J. Blige last year. Like, to me, I looked at that and I was just like, you know, as much as I love Mary, and I love Mary so much, it would be like if it was reversed. I'd be like, why is Layla opening for Mary or why is Mary opening for Layla? They are both, like, A-list talent to me. Like, they should be headlining their own tours all the time.
I give you one better than that. Last year... Or it was the year before when Marsha Ambrosia and Eric Benet were on tour. They did a joint tour where they co-headlined. I give you better than that. After 7 in Dallas, I don't know if they did this every show that they did in the city, but I know when I went to Dallas, they were After 7 was opening for them.
Yeah, and you're like,
at,
it doesn't
Grand
make
Perry.
Sense. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
But
even though they
I
think they had just put out an album, but still, but.
Right.
Again, they had to get on that arena tour or theater tour to, you know, I guess because it's those checks are big. Like, it's not like a small venue. Like, these are 13,000 seaters. You know what I mean? 13,000.
Yeah.
I think the one in Dallas at the Grand Prairie of the Verizon Theater, that was 13,000. So just do the math on that. Those tickets are over $45. And that show was sold, I don't think it was sold out, but it was a lot of people in there. But if you just get majority of that, like 12,000 people in there, that's a lot of money for those three people to split.
So, I mean, yeah. I respect those underrated singers who are grinding and who have been grinding. Like, I remember back in D.C. going to the Black Cat and seeing people at the time like Bilal and Tedra come through there and playing to, like, smaller houses. But you could tell they just loved what they did so much that they were willing to do it. I think I saw Chris Ed Michelle, Jasmine Sullivan, Marsha Ambrosius, like all of these people playing these smaller venues because of their love for it. And I'm thinking to myself, you should be playing, you know, a nice sized theater or, you know, arena because you have that much talent. But it's when they don't have, you know, either that support or that crossover appeal behind them, then they kind of, you know, get categorized. It's almost like the quote unquote neo soul label. Like, we categorize them as underrated just because they don't have that mainstream success.
I think I look at it as underrated as not enough exposure. The mass audience.
Yeah.
That's more of my definition of underrated. It's not necessarily, because I feel like those artists like Bilal, when they get those opportunities, like he'll, like most of his big moments are performing with Roots and doing music with them and then just aligning himself with artists that are probably like a Common, you know what I mean? That's somebody that's still publicly, like, you know what I mean? Like big, you know, because the Roots are on Jimmy Fallon, and so they've got that big audience. And so most of the time when they have a new album out, if they have Bilal on it, he's going to do that because he's going to perform it. Like when they did the soundtrack to Detroit, he did it. That song from that album of It Ain't Fair, they shot that like everywhere. He was everywhere in any public mainstream off of doing that. And then when they did the Prince tribute, he was there. Like they picked him, like that was them. And I'm pretty sure he had begged them to pick him because originally it was supposed to be D'Angelo, but I don't know what the hold up was with him, but originally it was supposed to be D'Angelo in a Prince tribute with The Roots, but it ended up being Bilal. And so I'm pretty sure when they asked any producer at BET that had anything to do with that award show, I'm pretty sure Questlove had to beg them to put him on that. I promise you, they had to beg him. Cause like I said, BET awards are just like, speaking of, I think they come on this week. Yeah, I think it come on Sunday. But anyway, they're sort of like every other try to be like other award shows and just getting popular names. And even though Bilal had an album out, but they're not going to promote that shit on there because they're looking for, unless they do like a side, that's why they have like that little side show of like the BET music experiment or whatever the hell they call that, where they have artists on and they only show them for like 20 seconds. And then unless you're in the audience, listening in, you're not going to see the full thing. If you're watching it from TV, you're not going to see the whole performance. But they only show like 20 seconds or somebody like that. I'd be like, are y'all serious right now? And then they'd be better. And most time, those artists that they put on the side, they'd be better than the main performers. That's what be killing me. But damn, oh my God, we didn't talk so long. We're going to do right here. We're going to do 6 minutes of Rage with Will. And then we're going to end the show with the Savvy Heathen Talk. And yeah, we're gonna wrap this up. So hopefully, Will's ready.
Oh yeah, I'm ready. Hey,
he's been ready the whole time. I was ready to go, but
hey, that's okay. All right, hey, great show, guys. But anyway, in the meantime, let's start this kick this thing off. 6 minutes of Rage. Not sure whether you recognize this tune or not, but this is what it seems like to me. Oh, I woke up this morning. What's going on? Is this the mafia? Is this the United States of America? What is it? Oh, Melania. Hey, you check out on that, that fake trip. Oh, and that jacket. Everybody's talking about the jacket. Oh, there's a message there. Huh, the phony tax bill. Babies crying. Even governors can't go into these facilities. Racking up and locking up. Oh my goodness, people just trying to escape, trying to get a better life. There's terrorists. Puerto Rico. 1 in 6 kids are going hungry in the United States. gun violence up, hatred up, bigotry up, violence up, disrespect up, discrimination up. You notice that? Discrimination up. Gas prices, you checked them lately? Stock market, hey, it's a trick. I can tell you about that. I'm a broker. I can tell you exactly how it's going on. Oh, my goodness. But then, have you seen it lately? Let's get back to this. We've seen pictures of people and kids and babies crying and locked up in cages. What in the world? Then anybody has to be enraged about that. Q-Lin, E.B., Whitney, hey, we got to talk about this. This can't happen. Not here. You turn your TV and it happens somewhere else, but not in the United States of America, which goes on. Our people are getting shot. People are getting gunned down. Oh, my God. Chicago, Maryland, D.C. Oh, out here where I live. Huh, 4 people shot last night. But then you got these clowns up there that can live anywhere they want, anyhow they want, travel anywhere they want, you know, and spending your money, your tax money. Oh, how about Sessions? Oh, boy, my favorite Martian. I don't know if you guys know about that show or not. You know, with the pointed ears, short, oh, evil eyes. Quoting biblical verses saying that God, oh, something in the Bible that says that allows them to detain and arrest and separate kids from their parents. I don't care who you are, what color you are, wherever you come from. How in the world can you tolerate that? And you call yourself a civilized society. It makes no sense to me. Okay, then you got these clowns like, oh, Corey Lewandowski, Steve Bannon, Manafort, Cohen. Oh, Michael Cohen, you know, the president's personal lawyer. Oh, boy, he might flip. Because guess what? He's going on a TV show with Tom Arnold. It's called Hunt for the Trump Tapes. Then you got Kushner, Papadopoulos, Nunez. Oh, my God. And pardons. Oh, what is he trying to do? Anyway, folks, I know what. I don't know whether my 6 minutes is over or not, but the rage continues. I've got to leave time for the hosts out here because you guys got to comment on this because guess what? Another brilliant move. Terrorists on China. And guess what? It is back and forth. Oh, whatever tax break you thought you had, guess what? You forget about it. Oh, hey, that's my 6 minutes of rage. Back to the buzz with Q Lynn, EB, and Whitney. Hey, folks.
Whew. Man, this has been a long show.
It's exhausting.
We're going to have to do a continuation to that. What do they call it in the movies? To be continued or on show?
Hey.
Because we got to wrap up. We're going to do our Savvy Heathen talk. Like, I don't think comment I could say on that. Or, I guess my Savvy Heathen talk will be what he just said is that we are about to be in a modern day of genocide if y'all don't go out and vote in November. That's all I say in terms of voting for your interests instead of against it. If y'all don't vote for y'all interests, this is going to get worse. Like, this midterm is so important. That's only my savvy talk. I was going to say something ignorant, but I'm acting stupid all show. And so I'm going to try to balance it out. This savvy talk is y'all, the people listening on the show, y'all have to go out and vote. I don't care what y'all, any of those people that say voting doesn't matter, it does matter. And so if y'all don't vote this come November, this midterm, overturn that House, overturn that Senate to where to get these evil, wicked people out of office, the stuff that's going on now is going to intensify and it's going to keep happening. And y'all can't be shocked by the stuff that's happening because that's the game, the name of the game he did. Since he's been in office, that was his name, and he said what he was going to do before he got in there.
That's
and y'all
right.
didn't do nothing, so y'all have to go out and vote. That's the only thing I have to say. When did you have anything to say before we go?
No, I just want to add on to that. Like, there's also elections coming up, I know, here in Tulsa next week. So, like, all these state questions, all other times when, like, you can vote for your judges, all of that, you need to be looking at that stuff now so that when you actually get there, you know which way you want to vote. You know what you're answering to. and you have a good understanding, because if we do keep things the way that they're going, like, who knows what it's going to look like, because it can get worse, and it will.
Yes, absolutely.
That's right.
Thank y'all so much for joining.
No, how about EB? EB, you have perspective.
Oh, he's gone. I was just about to say that. You beat me to it. EB had to go promote. Like I told y'all, he has this fishnet contract. he pushes, so he had to go and do a gig. So that's where he went off to. I told y'all, fishnet condoms is popping in these streets. It's selling out everywhere, hitting on the charts. Number one, triple platinum. Ain't nobody doing that no more, but EB doing it with this single. This EP called I Go to Church by Smoke Weed, co-produced by me. We hitting it hard in the streets. He had to go do a gig, so he had to leave. But like I said, like what we need to add on to that. We have an election too next week. But I'm gonna pay attention to everything you just said, Whitney. But there's also a very important one talking about the 420 experience and legalizing it. And guess who voted yes on that? Yours truly. Soul Savage Radio, y'all. 5-7 PM Pacific Standard Time. 8-10 PM Eastern Standard Time.
Oh, wow.
We'll have a fun show next week. Black Music Month. We did an underrated singers for Black Music Month. We continuing on with this, the last one. Celebrate Black Music Month. We're going to have talking about musicians, and we're going to have the extraordinaire, a veteran musician on 20 plus years, 30 plus years in the game. We got Monty Croft coming back next week, and we're going to be talking all things music. This man has so much knowledge, so much wisdom, and I'm going to soak it up like a kid. I'm just going to have my cup, and I want him to overflow my cup with this musical wisdom. We'll be back next week, y'all, every Friday, 5-7 PM Pacific Standard Time. We out, y'all. Soul Savage Radio. We out.